Thank you. Thank you very much. It is such an honor to to be here and to serve. And from Brittany and I and from Violet and Tanner and Ellis, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this church family. And we really say that in all sincerity. This is a family. And we're so thankful to have the opportunity to call you friends, to call you family, and to be a part of what God's doing right here at Crown Point Church. And so I'm overwhelmed, and I'm very appreciative. So earlier this week, I talked with Pastor Dennis, and I mentioned to him that God had been doing something in my heart just as it related to Scripture. And I asked him if, you know, sometime in the future, if I could just share what was going on. And he said, yes, for sure. And he asked, hey, would you like to speak this Sunday since it is your 10-year anniversary? How about that? And I said, yeah, I'd be honored to do that. It'd be kind of a neat way to celebrate and spend this day, you know, doing something that's a little bit out of the ordinary for me, nonetheless very meaningful. And so all throughout this last week, I had been writing this message, and I really was at a point where I felt like what I was doing was kind of put together, and I had kind of moved on from that. And it was Friday. I was sitting in kind of a quiet place by myself, spending some time reflecting, you know, with the fact that this had been 10 years. I thought, you know, I'd like to kind of open up with a couple of thoughts, you know, maybe some things that we had done or accomplished over these 10 years, and maybe just all celebrate. And I'll be honest, I trust that since we're all family here, it's been 10 years, I trust you're not going to kick me out, but I want to just be kind of real with you this morning and share a couple of very personal thoughts that God stirred up in me as I was working on this. But as I started putting this list together, I realized, man, this message is way more for me than I realized. And so started, you know, I was sitting at a desk at the house, and I began to just kind of recount some things over the last 10 years. And suddenly, as I found myself online kind of digging through old memories and things like that, I went to a little bit of a dark place. And I don't want to turn this into something it's not intended to be. We're here to celebrate today, and I promise you we will do that eventually. We're gonna walk out of here with a little bit of hope and encouragement, I promise. But it took me a while to get there, and I'll tell you why. So as I began to make my list, and I sat there with my pen and my paper, I started putting things down. And I wonder if you've ever been here. I started, as I did that, kind of comparing that to maybe some of the things that I wished that I had accomplished. I did this, but I kind of wish that I had done this. Or I did this, but, you know, I got a lot of really good friends who are dynamic leaders, dynamic speakers, dynamic musicians. And I started to look at the things that I had done, and I kind of lined them up with the things that I had seen some other people accomplished. And I started to compare the fruits of what I've spent the last 10 years here doing, and, you know, and even leading up to that, 10 years of ministry is somewhere else as well, and I just started to think, I wish the fruit looked just a little different. I wish that I had accomplished just a little bit more. I wish that I had worked a little harder. I wish that I'd come up with some better ideas. I wish that I had spent time crafting my talents and my gifts a little bit more. And I'll be completely honest, I never made a list. I sat there with a piece of paper, and quite a while later, it was still blank. As I sat there alone, thinking, comparing, looking at old notes and things like that, and I was in a pretty dark place. A couple things came to mind immediately. I wish that I had done a little bit more. And so this morning, on that wonderful note, I want to lead us into the message that God had put on my heart for today, and how over the last couple days I realized this is for me. And so you may or may not get anything out of this morning. This may or may not be an encouragement to you this morning. But I want you to know this is where I'm at, and I hope that by the time we walk out of here that we can all maybe take something away from this, maybe look a little bit more like Jesus when we walk out of here. So, here we go. We've all been there, right? We've all kind of been in those seasons where we've been a little discouraged or down or frustrated, and I don't live my life this way. This is not a normal thing for me. I do like to reflect, but I don't get in these really dark places very often. But I'm just opening up to you this morning because this is where I'm at. So two things I want to say about this. Number one, it's okay to feel this way. It's okay. I don't like to feel this way, but we've all been there at some point in our lives where we feel inferior, we feel inadequate, we feel intimidated, we feel insecure. I know that you've been there, and some of us, we spend a little more time than others talking about it. We're a little bit more honest with others about it. But at some point, we've all been where I'm at right now to a degree, and it may not be for the same exact reasons. And so because of that, I want you to understand, listen, it's not a sin to get down. It's not a sin to feel bad, to feel like maybe you should have done some things different. You know, the interesting thing is, and over this last year, a lot of people have experienced many, many changes in life. And as a result of some of the things that we've walked through, not just as a church, but as a nation, as a world, just as people in general, it's interesting to see some of the numbers that have been posted in regards to mental health and some of the things that people are experiencing. The numbers that have been quoted for depression and anxiety and suicide, they're at like an all-time high, like numbers that are just off the charts. People are dealing with serious stuff, and it's for a number of different reasons. You know, different things can put people or trigger people into different moods or situations. And I mean, there's the obvious things. We're in a pandemic. We've been in a pandemic for a while, which has caused some people to either lose a job or to lose health or to lose an actual loved one. Some have lost their community. And that experience, those things that people walk through, have led them to depression, have led them to experience anxiety that they don't really know how to deal with, or haven't, maybe even to that level, haven't experienced before. We've seen expressions of racism throughout this last year that have been just mind-boggling, things that have caused individuals to experience things once again that they were not prepared to deal with. We've seen politics argued about. We've seen politics discussed and debated in a way that has caused tension in our nation, obviously, amongst churches and families. We've seen this happen over and over again, which, just for a side note, I might add, if you really sit back and look at it, it can almost be comical, some of the things that have been said and done. But nonetheless, politics have been a very, very large contributor to the downslide of our mental health. Social media, I mentioned the effects that I've experienced in this last year. It's been a big deal. It all contributes to the fact that we are in a slump. But thankfully, Scripture tells us, gives us some tools, some ways, some resources that we can make it through all of this stuff. Now, listen, before you begin to think about the fact that Scripture was written long, long ago, before you dismiss the relevance of Scripture to our lives today, let me just say this. Stress, anxiety, all these things are relative to the person, right? Okay, the things that I'm experiencing are personal to me. They're things that I'm dealing with, so you really can't tell me how to feel, right? I've tried to tell Brittany how to feel before. It did not go well. It's almost as if that question were planted. Carol and I did not get together before this. I've tried to tell my kids how to think and feel before. Okay, it doesn't go well. People have done the same for me. You can't make someone feel a certain way. Okay, your feelings are your feelings. But the good thing is, Scripture gives us some tools, some things. It gives us some words to process and try to help us through all this stuff. Now listen, if you think that back in the day when Jesus was alive and when the New Testament authors were writing that the things that they were experiencing weren't equal or you know, there was no equivalent to what you're dealing with today. Again, it's all relative. I mean, have you ever had a flat tire on a camel? Anybody? Have you ever had the copper stolen out of your palm leaf AC unit? Have you ever traveled the road to Emmaus, that dirty, nasty road in your brand new Air Force Ones? Try to keep them white. I mean, come on, there's stress there, right? So listen, there was stress in the Bible, and Jesus talks about it, Paul talks about it. They give us tools and resources how to deal with the stress, how to manage these things in our lives. It's really interesting. There's a study that came out this last year, and I heard this multiple times from different sources, but did you realize that a study was conducted a psychiatric study between teenagers now, the average teenager who's living life right here, right now, all of these folks, and soldiers who were returning home from war after World War I, okay? There's a comparison between those two groups of people. Did you realize that the average soldier who was returning home from war, trying to reintegrate back into society, did not, on the charts, experience the same level of stress that our teenagers are dealing with today? It's mind-boggling. We're dealing with a lot of stress, but here's the other thing that I wanted to say about that. How do you think if we could hypothetically go back in time and speak with those soldiers, or if we could kind of sit in on their counseling session, how do you think it would go if their therapist said, "Look, bro, I know you're stressed and all, but you need to chill out because someday there's going to be teenagers that are more stressed than you, okay? So get it together." How do you think that would go? Not well, right? We can't tell somebody how to feel. You feel, I feel, we've got feelings, we've got stuff that we process, and the thing is, it's okay to feel that way, but the point that I really want to camp out on for a while is this, that it's not okay to stay that way. And because I like to make things memorable, I want us to practice something together, okay? Just so that this might stick a little bit better. Okay, I want you to say this with me. Say, it's okay to feel that way. Say that. Say, it's okay to feel that way, but it's not okay to stay that way. Say, but it's not okay to stay that way. Say, it's okay to feel that way, but it's not okay to stay that way. I want you to remember that, and I want you to say that this week when you start to feel things rising up, when you start to go to a dark place, if you get down on yourself, I want you to remember that it's okay. The feelings, the things that you're processing are okay, but listen, we need to move beyond that because Jesus has an intention for our life. He has a purpose and he has a plan for us that will move us beyond those expressions that we are dealing with. A couple of years ago, Brittany and I were still laying in bed. It was early in the morning. Sun hadn't come up. We're both asleep. And all of a sudden, we hear this giant crash. And we feel this thud. Not like a, you know, kind of a rumble type thing, but a literal thud that shook our house. The whole house was like, boom. You know, you feel that. You're laying in bed. And it was enough movement and a large enough noise that both of us sat right up in bed. And of course, she's like, "What was that?" And I was like, I mean, just like every manly man and husband and father would do, I was like, "Eh, probably nothing. Let's go back to sleep," right? So I'm like, come on, the sun is not even up. It's a Saturday. It's so early. Why does this have to happen right now? But when you hear a sound like that, you feel the impact of whatever that was, you know it's not nothing, okay? It's something. So of course she hops up, I hop up, you know, like we've got to get up out of bed, we got to deal with whatever this is, figure it out. And one thing you have to understand about our house, we chose our home for several reasons, one of which is the fact that it's in an older established neighborhood. Our house was built in 1974, and we sit on the corner of this cul-de-sac. So we've got this corner lot, and we've got these two large oak trees that were planted in the corners of our front yard when the house was built. So these are 40-year-old trees. They're mature, they're large trees, and we love these trees, okay? The whole neighborhood is filled with them. It's kind of a neat tradition. When they would build a new home, the homeowners association would gift the new family with an oak tree. Because we sat on the corner, we got two of them. So we've got these huge trees, and they're all throughout the neighborhood. But basically, as we started to search through the house to try to figure out what this sound was, you know, we looked out the windows right away and didn't see anything, you know, from our side of the house where the bedroom was. And we immediately started to kind of make our way through, and there it was, of course, as we made our way down toward the other side of the house where the kitchen and the front living room are. We could see, like, out the window, we could see leaves, and not like where they normally would be, but literally covering the windows in the front of the house, on the side of the house, there's leaves. So you can imagine where this is going. We have this tree that, as we're in our front yard, we've got a nice tree on this side, but this tree right here, it's this beautiful oak tree, it's huge, and there it sat, okay? So it's kind of hard to do it justice as a just looking at a picture, but this tree, because of this giant wind that came through, it was, what do they call those, some microburst. I mean, it took out a large chunk of the tree, and it came to rest on top of our house. It broke one of the rafters over there. It poked a hole in the roof. It messed up our AC unit. It took out all the landscaping and another tree that was in front of the house. And, you know, there were all kinds of issues. But I want you to understand, like, this tree, we love this tree. We loved the way it looked. It provided all this curb appeal to us. It provided shade on that side of the house. And it was just one of those things that was attractive to us. When we pulled up to our house, we loved the look of it because of, you know, partially because of this tree right here. So Brittany and I, as we're walking around, we're like immediately thinking, we got to do something. And we start brainstorming. And the two of us put our heads together, and she's like, let's call so-and-so, and I'm thinking, let me check this, and the two of us begin to discuss plans, and this went on for a little bit of time, just to kind of wrap our heads around the situation and figure out what we were going to do moving forward. So in all of those plans and everything that we had talked about doing, I'll tell you one thing that we never, ever thought. Let's just leave it. Let's just leave it there, right? I mean, that never once crossed our minds. I mean, it might have been nice for a little while. Some people are into the whole rooftop garden thing. That was not really the case on this one. But we never ever talked about just leave the tree. Why? Because in that moment when that tree limb broke, all of a sudden, like the shade and the comfort that tree provided for us became stress. The curb appeal and the beauty that we experienced from this tree became an eyesore to us. The affection that we had, like when we pull up to the house and we see this thing, that turned into frustration. And I will also say this, that this tree moved from a point of being a wonderful part of what we, you know, kind of felt and established there as a home. When that limb broke off and it came to rest on our house, that tree, that limb, kind of began this path of certain death. There was a little bit of life left in this thing, but it was not going to live for long, right? There was no way that this thing would live any longer. It had life within it, and that life, if left alone, would soon escape it as it tried to nourish and feed itself. But it could only make it so far because it had separated itself from its life source. Jesus gives us an illustration that's a lot like this. And now we're finally getting around to the actual point of the message. In John chapter 15, at the beginning of the chapter, he says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." So this is like the first place I want us to pause for just a second. I mentioned at the beginning that I got really discouraged when I began to kind of look at some things that I had done or accomplished or even not done or accomplished. I looked at the fruit in my life, and I began to compare it to the fruits of others. And it brought about a lot of emotions that were not healthy for me. It's really interesting, you know, what do we think of in our lives? When Jesus talks about cutting off branches that bear no fruit, what would the sign of a fruitful life be? Obviously, we have our labels. It's kind of different to everybody. You've got different goals, and that's fine. Some people want to accomplish different things in life. Some people want to acquire different things in life. You've got your list, and that is completely fine for you, but it may look a little different than somebody else's list. And one of the dangers is when we begin to look around and we think, huh, I'd kind of like to trade my fruit for that fruit over there. This fruit isn't as desirable as that fruit. Or why did I get 2 pieces of fruit and he got 5 pieces of fruit? Why is that? So we hear in the text, Jesus says, "I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit." We know that fruit can look different. We know that ultimately fruit here, you know, is just an analogy to the things that we accomplish in life. We know that it's what we do for the kingdom. That's the fruit, ultimately. But Jesus says the branches that bear no fruit, he cuts those things off. And then he goes on to say, "While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." I'm a terrible gardener, okay? I'm really no good at growing things. We've got a front yard that's half brown and full of weeds, mostly. And it's because I'm terrible at growing grass. Anything that's going to grow at our house is because Brittany is the one who knows how to do that stuff. She looks up the terms. She knows what all these different things are. She's really good at that. You could walk through the, you know, some greenhouse somewhere, and she's like, "Oh, that's a," you know, and she's like spitting out terms. And like Pastor Dennis was talking about earlier, I understand the words, but I have no clue what they mean. I don't even begin to understand what these things are she's talking about. And she'll research like where to plant these things, where to put them around the house, and what to feed them and when to feed them and all this stuff. She's like way better at this stuff, and I have no clue. And I'll see her though, because she's, let me just call her, and she may or may not agree with this, but let me just say she's a master gardener, okay? She's back there shaking her head, but that's how I view her, okay? All right. We're not like farmers or anything. We got a couple pots around the house, and they survive most of the year. So in my mind, she's a master, all right? But we've got these plants that we'll put around the house from time to time, and I'll see her like walking around and like pulling on them and like ripping stuff off and, you know, moving them around and doing different things to it. And I'm always like, "Why? You're like messing it up. Well, if you want a plant to grow, why would you rip it in half? You know, why would you do these things? You're damaging the plant." Because to me, it looks like she's messing it up, but no, she knows that in order for that thing to continue to grow and to be healthy and to produce the way it's supposed to, sometimes you have to prune it a little bit. Sometimes you have to peel some things back. Sometimes you have to remove some things that might be unhealthy. The pruning is part of the process. And I want you to realize that when Jesus says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, I want you to think about some of the things that you've been dealing with in the last year. Listen, don't take this too far, okay? Don't take this in a way that I'm not intending. But how many of the terrible things that have happened this last year could you consider as maybe a little bit of pruning in your life? I don't want to dismiss the severity of anything that anybody's been dealing with and suggest that God is punishing you for anything or that God is causing, you know, all these terrible things to happen. But here's what I want you to consider. Could it be pruning? Could you take some of the frustrations that you've experienced and maybe consider them an opportunity for God to maybe remove some things from your life that don't need to be there any longer? Maybe some things that are a little unhealthy. Maybe some things that they might right now in this season of your life look to be okay, but God knows what's farther down the road. And he knows that maybe something that kind of looks a little healthy at this point could possibly conflict with maybe a plan that he has a little bit later for you. Could it be pruning? Verse 4 says this, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's two things I want to focus on from this verse. The first is this. The text says, remain in me, and I'm reading from the NIV this morning, but some translations actually refer to this as abide. They put the word abide in there, and that's not like a normal word in our language. We don't typically say, I abide in Lee's Summit, right? I live, that's where I have settled, I dwell there, okay? It's all the same general context. To abide, when Jesus says remain in me, or he says abide in me, he says I want you to dwell with me. I want you to spend time with me. The same is true for any relationship that you want to invest in, you want to grow, you want to move forward. What do you have to do? You have to abide with that person, with that individual. And the more you abide with them, the more that you invest in time and resources and you do things together, you have common experiences together, the more you will grow together and you will build a life together. You will strengthen the relationship because you're abiding together. And so Jesus says, I want you to abide in me. I want you to remain in me. And sometimes we forget to do it because it's so simple. It's so simple to remain in the Lord. He is the one who set this up. He established the relationship because he wants it. I can assure you that when you go through seasons and this isn't happening in your life, maybe you've taken steps away from the Lord. He has not stepped away from you. Because his desire is always to pursue you. His desire is always to abide in you and with you. And he's calling us right here. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Abide with me. Because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what does it say right here? If you want to produce fruit, then what must happen? Actually, nothing. It's kind of a trick question there, because can we produce fruit? Can we produce fruit? It's an honest question. Is it possible for us to produce fruit in our lives? I saw, you know, as I was doing a little bit of study on this passage, I saw this awesome illustration. Somebody was teaching on this, and they had chopped a branch off of a tree before they began their message, and they were holding this branch in front of a crowd, and they said, let's see if we can make this produce some fruit. Okay, all of us together, let's combine our efforts this morning and see if somehow we can help this thing along, you know, with its own abilities. See if all of us together can, like, you know, like, breathe into this thing, or, like, you know, squeeze all our energy into this thing and see if this can produce fruit. Obviously, we know the answer to that. No, it'll never produce fruit on its own. You will never produce fruit on your own. And it's not our job to, and that's where the relief comes in all of this. It's not our job to produce the fruit in our lives. The text clearly says right here, if you allow me to prune you, and if you remain in me, you can bear fruit. Meaning, God does the work. The work does not start in you. The work is God's work. And we are simply the ones who get to stand here and bear really the beauty of what He has done within us. We get to carry God's work. We are the bearers of the fruit. We are not the ones who produce the fruit. Don't get mixed up on that. Don't get tricked into thinking that it's your job to work and to labor and to spend your time and your resources and your energy and your efforts to produce in your life. It is our job, and He clearly tells us to remain in Him, and as we do that, He will produce the fruit, and we simply bear what He's done for us and in us and through us. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, say this with me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Typically, we start a message out with the title, and we tell you what it's all about. We're just now to the title of our message. So I'll be wrapping up soon-ish. Maybe. Jesus never said, you can do it. He never said it. He never said, you can do it. You're good enough. You're strong enough. You're smart enough. He never said those things. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Matter of fact, He said, you can't do it, but I can. You can't, I can. That's what Jesus said. And we get tricked from time to time into believing the lies that our world and our culture tries to feed us. They say if you need strength, you've got to dig deep and find it. Scripture says it's not by might, it's not by power or strength, you could say. It's by my Spirit. Culture says if you need peace, it's inside of you. Just find that inner peace. You know, dig deep. Somewhere it's inside of you. Scripture tells us to present ourselves to God. In other words, abide with the Lord. Spend time with Him. Dwell with Him. Spend those moments with Him. And when we remain with Him, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, like, I don't even understand the peace that I'm experiencing right now. Because I'm dwelling with the Lord, I don't even get it, but that peace will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Culture tells us if we need rest, we need to take some time for ourselves and just find our rest. Jesus says, come to me if you're tired, if you're burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm getting gentle. I am gentle, He says, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, my work is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus never said, you can do it. He said, you can't, but I can. If our band would join me on stage this morning, I want us to put these things into a little bit of action this morning. And we're going to have an awkward transition in a minute because I got to go back there and play the keyboard. It's one of those pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of things. But here's how I want us to wrap up these next few moments. Can we just spend some time with the Lord? Can we just take some time to reflect? Remember that, you know, it's okay to feel stressed and to feel, you know, just at your wit's end at times. It's okay to feel that way, but listen, there's a way out of that. Jesus has provided the way out of that. I was pretty honest with you this morning and just sharing, you know, some of the things that have led me to that place. But I want us to take a few moments this morning and just put into practice what God has told us will be beneficial for our lives. If we can take time to abide with the Lord, if we can take time to spend moments with Him, God will not only heal our hearts and strengthen our lives, but He will set us up in a way where, once again, as He prunes us, as He works the process in our lives, where we can bear fruit like He intended. You might be in a season where it feels like you're just not very fruitful. That's not what God intended for you. It's actually a lie from the enemy. And I want us to be very cautious this morning to spend too much time reflecting on those things. One more simple lesson, and then we're going to spend a moment just kind of singing a song and just kind of responding together. And then Pastor Jeremy's going to close us out in a moment. But, you know, I gave the illustration of the tree branch that was resting on top of our house and obviously died. And hopefully you get the correlation there to the passage of Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And, you know, if you take a branch and separate it, it can't do anything on its own. Well, there's a big difference actually in trees or most plants and vines and the way that they actually receive their nutrients and the way that they actually continue to grow and bear fruit. Jesus, I think, probably knew this. That's probably why He used this analogy. But, you know, a tree has such a giant root system. I mean, if we were to knock that tree over, it's probably almost as large as our house, that root system that exists underneath that. And you've seen other plants before. You pull out of a, you know, a pot and the entire thing comes with it because it's this huge root system. Why is that? Because the root system has to be, it has to be large enough to support everything that's above it, correct? So all of the branches, everything else, it like sucks nutrients out of that root system. Okay, so the ends of those limbs, as they have little leaves and they produce fruit and everything, they are sucking the life out of that root system. They're taking everything they need to make that happen from the roots. But vines are different. If you ever go to a vine and, you know, maybe it's in this pot and you pull on it, you can actually, if you've ever done this before, maybe even on accident, you actually pull it just straight out of there. There's not much of a root system there. You know why that is? Because the vines are opposite. A vine pushes its nutrients into the branches. The vine forces what that branch needs up into that branch. It squeezes through itself everything that that branch needs to be fruitful. The vine itself is what produces it. It's not the branch pulling things out of it. It's the vine itself squeezing life, pushing life, pressing life into the branches. And so many times we get this backwards. We go to Jesus when we need something. We're going and we're trying to, you know, maybe just like, we're trying to pull something from him. We go and we try to just pick out just enough that we need to make it through a day, or we try to do these different things. But Jesus says, no, if you want to have life, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to bear fruit in your life, you need to abide with me. You need to spend time with me, and as you spend time with me and we abide together, I will push my life into you. I will push into you. I will squeeze and press into you everything that you need to be fruitful in this life. Don't get it backwards. Jesus knew what he was doing when he said, I am the true vine. He's the one who feeds us and nourishes us. We don't draw from him. He gives life to us. And he's calling us this morning to come away, to abide with him, to spend time with him. And as we do that together with one another, we will see fruit in our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? Here's how I want us to close. We're going to sing a song. And as we do this, if you're comfortable, I'd like for you to come forward and just kind of spend some moments here. There's nothing magical about the front of this room, but there's something that happens when we physically say, you know what? I need that this morning. I'm not asking anybody to confess any great sin. I'm not even asking you or saying that you need to be up here this morning. I'm just saying, if you want to come and you want to spend time, then take your mask out of your pocket, put it on, and let's come together this morning. We're going to sing a song, and then Pastor Jeremy's going to close us out. But if we want more of the Lord, if we want his fruit in our lives, then we've got to learn this morning to take the time to spend with him. Would you come this morning?